Support American-made, tariff-free clothing with American Giant with American Giant. They aren't affected by tariffs because their clothing products never left the U.S. Get 20% off your first order when you use promo code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com.
You have 5 new messages.
Hey, Carl, it's Jen from Finance. Could you submit your expenses this week?
Hey, Carl, happy Friday. It's Jen, Finance. Just need those receipts today.
Me again, Carl. Really need those receipts, like last week. Please just tell me where they are. Are you by your desk right now?
Finance teams, you shouldn't be chasing down Carl or anyone else. With Ramp, expenses are sent with a text and reminders happen automatically. Switch your business to ramp.com today and love finance again.
Welcome to the Tool Shed, a podcast covering all levels of professional baseball to help give you the edge in your dynasty leagues. From the MLB draft all the way to the show, the Tool Shed podcast has you covered with rankings, player analysis, and in-depth discussion. And now, here's your host, Eric Cross.
Welcome into another episode of the Tool Shed podcast brought to you by RotoBaller. This is episode 394. Thank you for joining me. I'm your host, Eric Cross. Second episode for you this week. Had a good episode on Monday with James Anderson. If you missed that, go back and check that out. Wanted to get you a second one this week, though, with all my June prospect and dynasty rankings up on the Patreon. Wanted to give you a second one just to talk about some dynasty risers and fallers. James and I talked about some prospect risers, so I figured I'd focus more on the MLB side here. Got 10 names for you. Try to do it in a nice, efficient half an hour or so. Got 4 fallers and 6 risers, all on the hitting side. Let's get into it. But first, you can find me on Twitter at EricCrossMLB, and the show is at ToolShedPod. If you enjoy the pod, please rate and review. You can find all of my content either on RotoBaller or over on my Patreon, ToolShedFantasy.com. And make sure you check out all the great content over on RotoBaller with RotoBaller's MLB Premium Pass. Gain access to expert tools and advice from proven winners. Import your leagues with TeamSync and get expert advice customized for your league-specific settings. Win more with RotoBaller's lineup assistant tools, free agent finder, prop picks, and the number one DFS lineup optimizer. Our premium pass comes with a 100% money-back guarantee. Go to rotoballer.com/radio and use the discount code TOOLSHED at checkout to get 10% off. All right, so again, 10 names here, 4 followers, 6 risers. I will start with the followers. Usually like to get the followers out of the way and then end the show with some positive risers. First two, unfortunately, from the same team, the Atlanta Braves, who have had a kind of a weird last couple of years offensively after that massive offensive season they had back in 2023. But we got Michael Harris the second and Ozzie Albies, two guys that I've been personally pretty high on, but really rough year for both of them. Harris coming off a 16 homer, 10 steal season last year, but was limited to 470 plate appearances, limited to 539 plate appearances year before that. So always seems to be missing, about, 30 or so games every year. This year, 249 plate appearances, 232, 259, 330 slash line, 3 home runs, 10 steals, only 13 runs scored as well. Quality of contact for Harris has gone down, especially the barrel rate's nearly been cut in half from 10%. He was very consistent, 10% almost on the dot the first 3 years, and then 5.9%. So for this year, hard hit rate is down from 47% to 39.5%. Rest of the profile is actually kind of in line. He's still not walking a lot, sub 5% walk rate. K rate's still better than league average, a hair under 20%. Ground ball rate still in upper 40s, but zone contact rate's actually up 6% from 81.5% to 87.5%. Overall contact up from about 75% to 76.5%. But, we've seen this with a few guys this year, Yiner Diaz being another one, where the super aggressive, profile is just getting to him, and it's just limiting him offensively. Even with the dropping quality of contact, he's still, around league average, give or take a little bit either way, in all the quality of contact metrics. He still has better than league average contact rates. So it's not like the profile is terrible. But at the same time, I don't know, it's hard for me to recommend buying low. I guess this one really depends on the price. I mean, it always does, but really depends on the price here. If you can get Harris for like more closer to a top 200 price tag, I would be more apt to doing that. But if it's still like a top 150 or so price tag, I'd probably hold off. And if you have him, obviously you have to hold him right now. I do think better days are coming for Michael Harris, but just a rough time for him this year. So hold if you got him. Buy low if the price tag has dropped low enough, but I'm not rushing out to buy either. So kind of like a hesitant buy on Michael Harris. Ozzie Albies, I've always been a big Ozzie Albies guy, you know, especially when he's coming up through the minor leagues. That was kind of like when I was starting to, you know, get into, you know, making rankings and writing content and this and that. And it was always a kind of a big name for me. A guy that I was always probably higher on the most. But that's kind of changed because, you know, it's been a couple, you know, two straight years really of just inconsistent production, inconsistent durability. I mean, he stayed healthy this year, 262 play appearances, which I think is actually one of the highest totals in the league right now. And but a 234, 309, 349 slash line, six home runs and six steals. Problem with Ozzy, I mean, he's not striking out that much, 15.5% strikeout rate. 8.5% walk rate. You know, he's still doing his thing there, kind of in line with previous years. Contact skills are still, you know, a bit above league average, but 86% zone, about 78.5% overall. Chase rate's a little high, but not like Michael Harris high. It's about 34%. But quality of contact has gone way down this year. Not that Ozzy was ever a masher, but he had good enough quality of contact when you pair that with the ideal angles that he hits the ball at. He's always been a guy that's had a high launch angle, you know, upper teens, maybe even low 20s in the launch angle. And then, you know, an ideal pull air rate, you know, 23 to 25%. It's actually 27.8% pull air rate this year, and then 65.5% air rate in general. So a lot of line drives, a lot of fly balls from Ozzy. So that kind of made up for the middle of the road quality of contact. But now that that has dipped to a 3.5% barrel rate, 86.6 mile an hour average exit velocity, and a 27.3% hard hit rate, it's harder for him to still be that 20 plus, even 30 homer guy that he's been, you know, for, you know, the majority of his career. And that EV and hard hit rate are both in the bottom 10% of hitters this year. You know, the X slug is only 365, and he's not like he's hitting for average driver to make up for it. Despite having the good contact skill, he's just not impacting the ball a lot. So it's limiting him. And I don't know. I don't feel good about buying low here. I would rather buy low Michael Harris. And even I was hesitant there. I don't really see a massive turnaround here. Like, you know, we look at another middle infielder that was a buy low coming into this year, Bo Bichette. He at least still was hitting the ball fairly hard and had the injury. And yeah, Ozzy's had some injuries, but it's that smaller profile. You know, he's had some injuries off and on throughout his career. I just don't know if this is a guy that's going to be aging well into his 30s and still being an impact player, and he's not really that guy now. So, you know, he's dropped out of my top 100. Both these guys have, both the Atlanta guys. Harris dropped to 124 overall. Probably should have dropped him a little bit lower than that. And Ozzy, I still have Ozzy at 101. But I think the price point is going to be considerably higher on Ozzy, and I probably should drop to even lower than that. Long term, I think they're probably pretty close moving forward, you know, in overall value wise. But I think the perceived value has dropped further for Harris than it has for Ozzy. So I think he'd be an easier one to buy low on if that's the route you want to go with either of these guys, but not super confident in either, to be honest with you. Which sucks, because, again, I've been pretty big fans of these guys. Next one up here, going to Matty McClain with the Cincinnati Reds. Six home runs, 11 steals is pretty solid in 216 plate appearances so far, but that comes with a very underwhelming 175, 270, 296 slash line. You know, there's some good and bad in the profile. It's not all bad. You'd think it would be with that type of slash line. It's not. You know, the bad is a 30.5% strikeout rate, but he's also walking in a little over 10% of the time, which is an increase from last year. And he had a high K rate last year, 28.5%. So it's gone up about 2%, but he was a guy that ran a higher K rate last year. quality of contact. It's gone down a little bit in the barrel rate, down 2%, but still 8.8%, which is better than league average. Average EV, 89.7, also a little bit better than league average. Hard hit rate's around 45%. That's actually up from last year by about 2%. He's still a guy that hits the ball in the air pretty consistently, 64.8% air rate. And contact skills aren't bad either. They're actually, the zone is slightly better than last year. Went from 79.9% to 81.2%. Overall contact is kind of right in line with last year, around 71, 72%. And chase rate is better than league average by a couple percentage points. So the outside of the higher K rate, I mean, he's running around league average contact rates, league average to above league average quality of contact metrics. And he's still a 94th percentile runner. And he's got a great home ballpark. So it's not working for him right now. But at the same time, I'd be willing to bet that his BABIP is really low right now. I'm actually going to pull that up because when I see, the underlying metrics not line up with the surface stats, makes me think, BABIP, but you can go both ways with that. BABIP is pretty low. And yeah, wow. Yeah. BABIP is 229 right now. That's going to be one of the lowest marks in all of baseball. It probably is. Let's take a look at that too. Just I want to see where it is. So for qualified hitters, let's see. There are 169 qualified hitters this year, and he has the ninth lowest BABIP. Rest of the list, very uninspiring. A couple guys you might expect, like Santander's down there. Andrew Vaughn, Joey Ortiz, Taylor Ward's down there too. Michael Conforto, Austin Wells, guys like that. But yeah, so the ninth lowest BABIP for Matt McClain. He's a buy for me right now. He really is. I'm still a believer of Matt McClain. I feel like the perceived value is pretty low right now. So I think this is a good time to swoop in. You could probably get him for a, price tag in the 200, 250 range in terms of, dynasty value. And I still have him, a guy that could be a top 100 guy moving forward. So I didn't drop him down a lot just because I still believe in him. But I think more people have in terms of his perceived value. So goodbye on Matt McClain. Last one here for the followers, Adley Rutschman. He's a guy that definitely doesn't have the surface stats that match up with the underlying metrics. Pretty underwhelming year for Adley. 7 home runs, which is, that's solid, but 225, 314, 375 slash line, and was pretty underwhelming last year too. 250, 318, 391. But this year, a lot of the metrics are up right now. Barrel rate's 8.9%, average EV 90.6 miles per hour, hard hit rate 41.1%. He's never been a guy that's had huge power. It's always been pretty middle of the road, but those are all career best marks by not just a little bit either, and also running pretty similar K rate to what he's usually at. He's at 17%, back up to 11% in the walk rate department. So that's good to see. And, guy that hits, pretty good angles as well. 61.5% air rate, 18.5% pull air rate, average launch angle about 16 degrees. So that's all pretty good there. And his contact skills have gone from good to, great this year. 87.9% zone last year, 91.7% this year, 17% whiff rate last year, 14% whiff rate this year. So he's cut that. He's cut the chase rate by 9% this year, from 28.9% down to 19.9%. So a lot of good. If you just looked at the metrics, last year's to this year's and what they are overall, you'd think, man, Adley's having a pretty good year, and that's just not been the case. It's just sometimes, like we saw with Atlanta last year, Baltimore this year, it's just a bad year for teams. That's just how it goes sometimes, and Baltimore for the most part. Pretty much everyone's down except for like Ryan O'Hearn for the most part. So yeah, I think Adley's a good buy. I mean, is he that, tier one, top three stud at this position? No, it's Cal Raleigh and then a drop down to the second tier. I'm not even sure if he's in that tier. Maybe he's in the bottom of tier two, upper part of tier three, but this is still a top 10 catcher without question for me. And I think he's a good buy. I think there's better days ahead. The metrics are all there. And a lot of times these things have a way of kind of stabilizing to where they should be for the most part. So I think Adley is a good buy and probably the strongest buy of the four I mentioned in terms of ranking them in order of how I'd want to go out and buy. I'd probably go Adley, then McLean, then Harris, and then Ozzie Albies for Dynasty Leagues there.
Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365 because they get $150 in bonus bets when they bet $5, win or lose. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. And see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. T&Cs apply. Available in app only.
All right. Let's move over to the risers. Got a six-pack of these guys. And a pretty interesting mix of players here. We'll start with another catcher. We ended the last segment with a catcher. We'll start this segment with another catcher. Yvonne Herrera. I loved last year. If you read my work, listen to me on here on Toolshed. You know that I've been a pretty solid Yvonne Herrera guy. Wrote him up in the offseason as a breakout guy. At last year when he hit 301, 372, 428, five home runs, five steals in 259 plate appearances. This year, missed some time, but 116 plate appearances, 337, 422, 592. That's OPS over 1,000. For those of you that like OPS, six home runs so far and 18 runs scored. The quality of contact has improved this year across the board. It's a 10.5% barrel rate, 44.7% hard hit rate, and a 90.3 average exit velocity. K rate's improved. Walk rate's improved. Walk rate is now 11.6%. That's up about 2% from last year. K rate's down close to 2%. 20.5 down to 18.8% there. Contact seals are good too. It's basically everything you look at offensively with Yvonne Herrera, you can pretty much say it's above average. I mean, he doesn't stand out. He's not a stud in any one of these areas, but he's better than league average basically across the board. Same thing with contact seals. We're talking 86.5% in zone and a 77.5% overall. Chase rate's pretty much right on point with being league average, but yeah, a lot of good in the profile. And St. Louis has been sneaky good this year. They've been one of the teams that has exceeded expectations. And I think Yvonne Herrera is a big reason why, or one of the reasons why this team is having a pretty productive year, especially offensively. And a lot of scrappy guys in that team, like the Alec Burlesons, the Brendan Donovans, obviously Nolan Arenado's still there. This is a sneaky good offense right now. Mason Wynn's having a pretty decent year after a slow start too. I almost put him in this episode, but I went with Yvonne Herrera for my Cardinal here. But yeah, I like Herrera. Is he ever a tier one catcher? Probably not. But I think he's a good tier two catcher. A guy that could be anywhere from number five to number eight or nine catcher, year in, year out for the most part. Does a lot of things well. Only 25 years old. Yeah, I'm definitely buying Yvonne Herrera now. Definitely liking that profile. Good bit. Next guy, I think this guy's being slept on a little bit. Jeremy Pena with the Houston Astros. He's up to 9 home runs and 10 steals with a 312, 374, 481 slash line this year. He's been getting hotter of late, but I saw that, the stat line, about a week or so ago. I knew he was heating up. I hadn't really looked at the stats for Pena, and I was like, man, he's having a pretty good year. 27 years old, former third round pick. Kind of had an up and down career so far. He had that really impressive rookie year back in 2022 when he went 22 home runs, 11 steals. Last couple of years, though, the average has been solid, and the power speed, has been okay. But I think you'd be a little bit underwhelming after the rookie season if you had Jeremy Pena. But this year, definitely taking a step forward in a lot of areas, and it's really utilizing his home ballpark well. Obviously, you get the short, left field seats there in Houston, and that's where all of his home runs have went, all to left field. And let's see how many are at home compared to on the road. So he's got where's home? There it is. Yeah, 6 home runs at home, 3 on the road, and his slash line is really good at home. 359, 421, 555, and on the road 252, 313, 388. So definitely some home cooking there. with Jeremy Pena. You know, but I've always had a soft spot for him. He's a University of Maine guy. I live in Maine. Not many athletes at all that are professional athletes that are especially good ones that came from either lived in Maine or went to University of Maine Orono, which is our biggest school here in the state of Maine. Obviously, we had Cooper Flagg in the NBA. That's fun. He was a Maine kid, about 2 hours north of me up the coast. But yeah, Pena went to University of Maine Orono several years back. So always had a soft spot for him, and he's really starting to break out this year. He's very quick runner. I don't think he gets enough credit for how good of a runner he is. 97th percentile there. He's on pace for right around like a 25 season or so, about 85 runs and about 80 to 85 RBI as well, while hitting for a good average and providing a good OBP as well. Again, 312 and 374 there. Quality of contact is pretty middle of the road. Barrel rate and EV are basically league average on the dot at 7% and 88.3 miles an hour. Hard hit rate, 41.7%. Cut the K rate down to a career best 13.6%. Doesn't walk a ton, but contact skills are good here. But 89% zone and 77% overall contact rate. Does chase a little too much, but not bad whatsoever. And again, really leans into his home ballpark there. 20.1% pull air rate is pretty solid there. He doesn't have like a high air rate in general, because he actually has a below average air rate, but when he does get it in the air, it's to the pull side, and that's working for him. So, I don't think he's going to rise to be like a top 50 guy, but I put him back in top 100 this past update. I have him at, I have him 97 overall. So I think he's deserving of that top 100 spot right now. And I think a lot of this is for real. Again, I don't think he's a stud, but could he be like that top 70 to top 100 type of guy moving forward? Yeah, I think the skill set is there for that. Next one here, Helio Ramos, 25-year-old outfielder with the San Francisco Giants. Now, he's taken a nice step forward this year as well. Already scored 40 runs this year after having 54 last year, and he's done that in about half the plate appearances so far. 265 plate appearances, 11 home runs, 5 steals, 289, 358, 489 slash lines. So that's up across the board there. And the profile is pretty solid overall. Good. He's still good where he was last year, and he's made some improvements in other areas as well. 13% barrel rate, 91.5 mile an hour average exit velocity, and a 45.5% hard hit rate, while dropping the K rate by 3.1% from 26.1 to 23%. That's nice to see. And also improved the contact skills as well. Zone went from 81.7 to 84.5%. Overall from 71.3 to 76.4%. So about 3 and 5% jump respectively in the contact metrics. Really like to see that. Now, he's improved against non-fastballs while still hammering fastballs. He's hit over 300 each of the last 2 years against fastballs. But against non-fastballs, he was hitting 236 against breaking and 220 against off-speed. Last year, that's up to 267 against breaking and 296 against off-speed. And he has an average exit velocity above 91 miles an hour on all three of those pitch types, with a contact rate of 70% on breaking, which is pretty good for breaking balls. And then 80, right around 79 or so percent on fastballs and off speed. So, I think he could even do more damage if he, got the ball in the air a little bit more, especially to the pull side. He's below average air rate, below average pull air rate by a little bit. Ground ball rate's 50% on the nose. So if you were to, even lift a little bit more, I think he could do even more damage than he's doing right now. But still, he's on pace for about 25 home runs, right around 100 runs and double-digit steals while giving you a good average and OBP. There's not a ton of red flags in this profile. There's not a super high chase rate, even though it is, the chase rate is a little high at 31%, but that's only 3% above league average. Not terrible rate there. Solid contact skills, decent power, runs a little bit. Again, it's kind of similar to what I was just saying previously. Like, I don't think Ramos is going to be, a top 50 guy like Pena, but I think these guys can both stick kind of back end top 100. I have Ramos. Let's see, where do they bump Ramos? I can't find them right now. good old Control F. Oh, right in front of my face. 83 overall. It's always right in front of your face. You just don't see it on a spreadsheet. But yeah, 83 overall. Similar. Not a lot of outfielders in that range. But Jason's still in that range. He's been heating up a little bit. Dylan Cruz, Willier Abreu, Kerry Carpenter, who's a riser as well. Christian Yelich, so still some. That's a little bit too lower than Ramos. Not a lot of outfielders in that range, but yeah, I think he's like a top 20 or so outfielder right now. A good outfield too. Like, I wouldn't want Ramos as my outfield one, but if you have Ramos as your outfield two in Dynasty, I think that's actually pretty solid. So I'm a believer. I don't think there's like another huge gear. Maybe a little bit of improvements here and there from Ramos. Again, if he starts pulling the ball in the air a little bit more, that would help. But I think a solid top 100 guy moving forward for Heliot Ramos. Next guy, the kind of latest of the first base breakouts this year, Jonathan Aranda with the Tampa Bay Rays. As a lot of the April first base breakouts, the Soderstroms, the Torkelsons, the Manzardos of the world, the Rice, Ben Rices, have kind of fizzled out a little bit here in May and June. Jonathan Aranda has taken a step forward in this, last really all season. It's not like it was just like a May, June thing. All season, Aranda has been pretty good, slightly limited in overall value just because he doesn't play a lot against lefties. And they've been doing, a little bit of a platoon with him, though he has faced, 47 plate appearances against lefties. So it's not like a strict platoon, but not hitting against them much. He's not terrible against lefties. He's hitting .282 with a .404 OBP against them, but only a .333 slug. So it's like he'll put the bat on the ball, get on base, but it's not really impacting the ball. But on the right side, .338, .417, .556 slash line with 7 home runs. So he's got all 7 of his home runs against right-handed pitching. In 210 plate appearances. So he's on about right around a 20 homer pace with that good average. Quality of contact this year is very good. I mean, the barrel rate's actually gone down. It was 16.5% last year, down to 10.5% this year. But average EV is ticked up to 92.5 miles per hour, and hard hit rate is 55.3%, showing a pretty solid approach as well. 11% walk rate, 23.8% strikeout rate. So pretty solid there. Contact skills have dipped a little bit, but overall contact rate is still right around league average. He's at 74.3%. So that's a hair below league average right now. Zone has dipped about 6% down to 77.8%, which is about 4.5% or so below league average, which is a little around 82%. So I don't see the 326 average sticking. But he's also better than the 230, 234 that he was the previous 2 years. I think there's a middle ground to be had here. XBA is 298. I'd even say more like 280. I think he's a guy that will, outperform, his XBA for the most part because he hits the ball hard. But I don't see, above 300. I think 280 is fair, and that can come with 20 to 25 home runs and some solid counting stats. He's never going to give you steals. He has zero steals in his career. And probably never gets one unless it's a rogue steal on some random play. So a 4-category guy, but a guy that could be really solid in those 4 categories. Probably never a stud in any one of the 4. But if he can hit you down 280-ish, give or take, with 20 to 25 home runs and 80 to 90 runs in RBI, you'll take that. A good corner infielder, really. I don't know if I'd ever want him as my starting first baseman long term, though. I mean, you could put him in that back end starting first base territory, sure. But I would just love Aranda as my corner infield guy. Like him, like Michael Busch, those guys just scream like this really good top end corner infield bats for you. So I like Aranda a good bit, and think this is for real. And I kind of hinted at him as a breakout this year, and he's definitely doing so. And so I am definitely buying Jonathan Aranda. Keep it right in the American League East. Addison Barger, has been one of the hot names over the last couple of weeks here, up to 6 home runs and 141 plate appearances with a .271, .333, .496 slash line. Quality of contact right now is just really, really elite. 14.4% barrel rate, 94.6 mile an hour average exit velocity. is 116.5 mile an hour max right now, and a 54.6% hard hit rate. I mean, he's up there among the league leaders in hard hit rate and average EV and barrel rate right now. You know, he's definitely elite. He's, you know, top. Let's see. He's top 15% in barrel rate, top 5% in hard hit, and top 2% in average exit velocity right now. Both the walk and the K rates are right around league average. You know, no high K rate. You know, he's dropped that K rate 4.5% from last year. Improved the walk rate a little bit too. He's hitting the ball in the air more consistently and pulling the ball. So, you know, pull air rate has gone up about 6%, 24.7% there. That's a good mark. League average for reference is around 16.5%. And he's, you know, ground ball rate's down 6%, pull rate's up about 8%. So getting those better angles right now. And he's done so while, you know, at the same time, improving his zone contact rate. He's right around league average there. It's up about 2% from last year. Overall contact up 3%. He's right around league average there. And he's dropped the chase rate by 5%. So he's been able to not only make better quality of contact, but make better contact in general. And sometimes it's that trade-off. All right, they sacrificed a little contact for power or vice versa. But it's always really, really exciting when they can, you know, improve both, or, you know, if they're already good in one, improve the other without sacrificing the one that they're good at. So really encouraging stuff here from Addison Barger. I moved him into my top 200. He was a guy that was, like, last year was hanging around the back end of my 500. He dropped out early this year. I just wasn't sure what his future was, you know, if he was going to be a starter for Toronto. Now he's getting a chance to start, and he's absolutely taking advantage of it. So he's top 200 for me right now. I couldn't go top 100 yet. I think it's way too soon for that. But I put about 186 right now, which is still a very sizable jump for a guy that was not in my 500 last month. So I'm definitely, you know, I think that shows that I'm believing in the breakout. I think he's going to be a stud. No. I think he's going to be top 100. You know, I think he could get up in that range, you know, not like top 50 and anything like that. But arrow is pointing up here for Addison Barger for sure. And yeah, I think it's still, you know, you're going to buy high right now because he's kind of the talk of the town. But I think the perceived value isn't like top 100 yet or anything crazy. So I don't think it should be like, you know, price like this really hurts you to do. You know, I think he's a decent buy high right now. So I think there's a lot of legitimacy in what he's doing here. All right, one more name to close it out here. We're a little bit over half an hour, but one last name here, Jacob Wilson of the Athletics of West Sacramento or wherever, future Las Vegas Athletics, formerly Oakland, whatever you want to call them these days. You know, Jacob Wilson has been a shining star for them and is currently running away with the AL Rookie of the Year award. You know, if you had told me back in March, all right, hey, an Athletic is going to win the American League Rookie of the Year or even be kind of the clear frontrunner in June, I would have said, oh, yeah, Nick Kurtz got called up in late April or early May, and he hit 10 home runs his first, you know, month or something like that. Never would have thought it was Jacob Wilson, even though he was the one that was in the major leagues, because admittedly, I have never been, like, super high on Jacob Wilson. I mean, it's always been an elite contact profile. And I won't even say elite approach. I think people, you know, kind of get the two mixed up sometimes. But, you know, if you took away the contact skills, just looked at the approach, you'd be like, man, this guy's only walking 5.2% of the time. I mean, man, this guy is swinging, you know, a lot. You know, he's chasing at a worse than league average clip. Like, you know, he's aggressive, but it's fine when he has some of the best contact skills we've ever seen. At least I've ever seen. You know, he's a 93% zone contact rate, 90% overall contact. You know, those are, you know, way above league average. His chase contact rate, so contact on pitches outside of the strike zone, 83.7%. That'd be an above average zone contact rate. He's doing that outside the zone. Just absolutely insane. So it's, you know, it's fine if you're, you know, chasing at a, what is it, 34% clip, and you're only walking 5% of the time when you're putting the bat on the ball and it's not striking out. 6.4% K rate. Right. I mean, but we all kind of knew this coming in. We knew it was elite contact. We knew he was aggressive. This guy likes to swing and he puts the ball in play. And I don't have it in front of me, but I'd be willing to bet a high amount of money that he has the most balls in play this year. I mean, I think that's a very fair thing to say, because out of his 255 plate appearances, he's probably put the ball in play 245 of those times. It's like, he just doesn't strike out. He puts the ball in play. That's what he's built for. But the 8 home runs and 5 steals are what really surprised me. And I think it's been a really, you know, big debate on just Wilson's power in general, because, you know, you look at quality of contact for him, it's terrible. He has a 2.8% barrel rate, 86.4 mile an hour average exit velocity, and a 27.5% hard hit rate. For percentiles, those are 7th percent, 8th percentile, and 5th percentile. You know, bat speed, 1st percentile, one of the lowest, I think it was either the lowest or the bottom 3 in bat speed. You know, but he just hits the ball where he needs to be. Like, he ranks among the league leaders in squared up rate at 40.7%. That's the 99th percentile. Because it's not like he has, Isak Parede is a good example. Pretty much had poor quality of contact, but he hit the ball in the air a lot, to the pull side a lot. Wilson's not doing that either. I mean, the pull air rate's only 13.3%, and that's below average. Ground ball rate's 56%. You know, air rate's 44%. That's about 11.5% below league average. So it's not like, oh, he has a lot of pulled fly balls. No. But when he does pull a fly ball, he's hitting it out of the ballpark a decent bit. Like, that squared up rate, again, is among the league. It might even be, I think, top 3 or 5 overall in the league right now. So, and the fact that when you put so many balls in play and hit, you know, have that high squared up rate and kind of hit the ball, you know, in the air, you're bound to have some good things happen every now and then. You know, I would still bet, you know, a high amount of money. And people are like, oh, he's a 20 homer guy. No, I still would bet a high amount of money that he doesn't get the 20. But can't even him getting to like 15 to 17 home runs with, you know, maybe in the vicinity of 10 steals. Let's make it even 15 and 10. With, he's on pace for, I think, around like 85 to 90 runs. You know, the Athletics lineup's, you know, pretty solid. You know, you got Rooker, you got Soderstrom, who I think will still be decent. You know, you got obviously Lawrence Butler, Kurtz when he's back, and it's a solid lineup. And you factor in 15 and 10 with decent amount of runs scored. You know, maybe he even give you 80 plus RBI as well. He has as many runs as RBI right now. So if he's giving you 15 and 10, 80 plus with an elite average, even if it falls off, even with some regression, let's say regression from 363 to 330, 340, still very impactful average. You know, I don't think he's going to be top 100 for me. I mean, I put him at, it was 130 something. Where did I put him? Let's see. I had him 119 from 233 last update. So he already jumped a lot last month, jumped even more this month. You know, do I see him getting in the top 100? Maybe. I'm sure he is for some people. Maybe he can get back in top 100, but, you know, with the still limited overall power speed profile, you know, long term, you know, it's hard to put him any higher than back in top 100 for me. But definitely a riser, and definitely a very safe high floor guy. So I was wrong. I was wrong. I will totally admit that with Wilson. Did not expect this power speed. But with that said, again, I still think he's not going to be more than like a 15-10 guy. But hey, that'll work, you know, with everything else that he brings to the table. All right, that was 10 names in a little over half an hour, 37 minutes. Give you a little bit of a quicker episode here, but want to talk some dynasty risers and followers from my June update. That was posted a couple days ago now on Wednesday, when you're hearing this on Friday or Saturday. And, you know, prospect rankings are updated on Monday. Got the OBP dynasty rankings coming out this weekend, redraft as well. All the rankings are already updated or will be soon. So go over to toolshedfantasy.com. That's linked in my bio on Twitter. Get all my rankings plus much, much more, you know, additional content. And whoop, I just dropped my baseball that I was playing with. A lot of content over there. Make sure you check that out. Check all the great things going on over at Rotoball. There's so much great content there as well. And I will be back with you again on Monday with a guest. But until then, everyone take care.
breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365, because they get $150 in bonus bets when they bet $5, win or lose. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. And see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. TNCs apply. Available in app only.